from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
All right, we got Celtics players that may or may not be on the court today, Curtis. Will Tatum be one of them? You know, Steve Kerr likes him some Derek White, likes him some Drew Holiday, not Tatum so much. And why is he doing it? Everybody lashing out. Bob Cousy lashing out. Tatum's parents lashing out. The Wiggy rant yesterday that he's rooting for France and boycotting the Olympics.
And we didn't get a chance yesterday because it was such a jam-packed Greg Hill show. Awesome showing at the Sam Adams Tap Room. Really, I had never been to the bottom main floor of that place, but the bathroom was fully booked, so I went down. Really cool scene. They have like the huge beer, what do they call them? The aluminum barrels, whatever they are. Really cool spot. But Greg, with Wick, says, will Bob Cousy be at opening night? What a jinx.
Oh, jeez.
Unbelievable.
Well, Cousy's going strong. If you read the Shaughnessy piece. You were not a fan of the Shaughnessy column?
I'm
too easy?
I am so happy that Dan is well and that he's writing again. It feels like Boston is not on its axis when Dan is not bloviating. So I'm glad he's back, and I'm not saying that in any way sarcastically. However, he has a couple guys that he just goes to. And the Coos is one of them.
But. Yeah, but this is making headlines. I mean, you get a Celtics legend lashing out and saying, I mean, that's a good line from Cousy. This is an embarrassment. He has an expletive in there. This is an embarrassment for that poor kid all over the bleeping world. Talking about Tatum, which you think is going to galvanize the Celtics. You could be right. It will drive Tatum all year, I'm sure. But right now it's embarrassing. Let's play this out one of two ways. They lose today. Tatum doesn't play much and they lose. Does it become a bigger issue that Tatum was not a big part of this?
If I'm Tatum, I'm rooting against the team. I mean, I know I lose a gold, but...
Should he not show? Should he just, like, stay in the locker room?
No, I think you're already at this point. If Tatum doesn't show, then he proves Kerr's point.
That there's something wrong with him. That he's
right. And he makes the story off. So
he's in a tough spot.
But what an a-hole Kerr is, just honestly. And I thought Wick was great yesterday, where he just said, like, nobody... He has no idea. I mean, it is dumbfounding the way the rest of the league, it's not like the Celtics are like the team that is here right now, and it's right after their, you know, Altuve's mic'd up with the trash can banging Astros. this is a Celtics team that won it fair and square and won it in a rout. And there's constant negative storylines surrounding their best players.
You snubbed Jaylen Brown. You brought Tatum, but benched him twice against Serbia.
You brought Tatum to bench him.
Yep.
And you benched Brown before he could even arrive.
Yep.
And you know what? Maybe this is what they were telling us all along. They weren't going to bring Brown because they were going to give him the Tatum treatment. And is there any doubt that if Brown was where Tatum is, that he would not be doing it this quietly?
Oh, you're right about that. Here's what Wick Grosbeck told the Greg Hill Show yesterday at the fifth birthday bash about why Tatum isn't playing.
I mean, I wouldn't play Steve Kerr, let me put it that way, if I was putting the Kerr staff together. I was like, what's going on? I mean, it's a mystery. It's a complete mystery. And I mean, I think Jason doesn't deserve anything but praise, kudos, and playing time. I think he and Jaylen led us to this unbelievable championship, and they're not apparently helping out the Olympic team. They're not not able to be helpful in the Olympic team, and just leave it at that. It's mystifying.
I agree. Great word. Mystifying. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. I don't concede the point. I understand the angle if you're saying it is Nike based with Jaylen. That's clearly what it is. Jaylen's been outspoken. You know, I guess there's like a Dookie thing. That's what Doug Gottlieb told us a while ago when Greg was out, that was the reason behind it. It just.
What is that? What is that theory?
That, well, Tatum's a Dookie. Jake Grant Hill is picking the team. Coach K predated Grant Hill, and that there's this Duke thing with the Team USA, that those guys were always go all the way back to Christian Laettner being on the Dream Team in 92. I candidly haven't thought about it much since. He was also talking about that Adam Silver went to Duke. I don't know. It seemed like kind of a strange, far-fetched opinion, but it was one that was shared with me, so I might as well share it again. I have no answer. I don't know why. Because you can.
He's not hurt. His mother came out on Twitter and said that as a fact.
But.
Tatum's mother.
The thing that doesn't make any sense, and you alluded to it earlier, is the BS apology that Kerr gave after he was benched in the preliminary round.
Right.
Like.
I'm an idiot or something. You know, just fake.
But.
Like self-flagellation. What do you call it?
That might be.
That
sounds
like
self-deprecation?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could just say he was trying to play dumb and plead ignorance, and it was not working.
Flogging oneself as a form of religious discipline.
he flogged himself, for sure. He rented a movie in the Paris hotel room.
Have you done any flogging recently?
I have not. I wouldn't even know. Flogging Molly is the only one I know. Hey, can we get a Flogging Molly rejoin? What's left of the crown? What's it? What's it called? Flogging Molly, What's Left of the Crown, I think is the song.
Oh, okay. Anyway. You're the music guy.
I am.
What's Left of the Flag.
What's Left of the Flag. There it is. Great tune. It's so good I remember the name. but either way, I already hate Steve Kerr. He's just a total duplicitous a-hole.
Is he right now number one villain, passes Kyrie, passes Clemens for you, passes...
I would probably go with Gerard Mayo for Ben. No.
I felt like an idiot.
Yeah, well, you are one. Biggest villain in Boston sports right now.
We just had the list. This was recent with Kyrie. You just vanquished
Kyrie. Yeah, I would say Steve Kerr is above Kyrie.
This year is going to be the hate Kerr.
And the irony is that Kerr, Jaylen, Jason, and Kyrie are all in agree. They all agree about
unifying over the hate for Steve Kerr. I think it.
Are you rooting for America today at 3:30?
I can't root for France to win the gold medal. I mean,
but
it's not
rooting for; it's rooting against Steve Kerr. It's rooting against Durant.
Well, so let's play it out the other way. Let's say they win the gold medal without Tatum playing.
Then, I would pants. The good news is I don't know if you knew this, but the coaches don't get a medal. So,
really? Oh, they're not on the podium.
They do not get a medal. So
it's Grant Hill.
No. I mean, I would hope if the coach doesn't.
Coach K.
Yeah, Coach K always gets one.
He gets mailed one.
His face is on it. But yeah, I find it. I find the organization to be entirely loathsome. Everything that America should not stand for at the Olympics, which is individual personal battles.
But you guys asked Wick like how he's holding up, how he's enjoying it. He said he's still in the glow. You mentioned 08. He's still in the glow of 08. But it's been a for a team that won a title, it's been rocky.
Tumultuous.
Yeah, you said it's been a great offseason earlier.
No. I mean, everything that's happened of late has been great for the team. Ordinarily, at this stage, you're worried about a team getting too high and not going back to the bottom of the mountain. The famous Patriots every year begin, everybody starts at 0-0. This regular season and playoff run, I thought, was going to lead to the over-the-top proclamations about maybe best team in NBA history, because statistically, it was. And instead, it's been nitpick after nitpick. It's been Jaylen doesn't go on the team. It's been they had no road to go through. It's been lucky. It's been everything other. It's just so strange to me. And the other thing, just to finish the Steve Kerr thing, you could play Tatum 8 minutes a half, and it's no big deal.
Right. Yes, you could sort of justify that, because when he's played, he's not been that terrific, to be honest.
Because you're also proving his point by benching him entirely.
Yeah.
There's
a way to get 11 guys in.
Right. Well, or 7, and you include Jason Tatum.
Right. Yep.
And he said, it's only 40-minute games?
Actually, it would have been better if they'd lost to Serbia, don't you think, and not come back? And Tatum didn't play in that game. Oof, well, that'd have been some drama.
That's what I'm saying. I was disappointed.
Yeah. Well, today, I think they'll play him a few minutes today, but it's too late. Now it's too late. The few-minute approach won't work. Or perhaps they'll go the other way. He'll put him out there and not take him off the floor to try to prove his point, and they'll lose a gold medal just to say that prove that Tatum is not capable of winning one.
Right. Wait till they're down 20. That's why he didn't bring Tatum in late in that game, because if Tatum had come in and been the reason they came back and beat Serbia, then Kerr looks like a double moron.
You're right about that. So how do you feel about that? 617-779-7937. Steve Kerr, his villain status. And how this impacts the Celtics. I'm not living my life in fear, Curtis, as you know, but I'm concerned. I'm concerned about their ability to repeat after a long Olympics.
What are the odds right now? I want to see this. The NBA championship odds, MGM.
I'd be concerned as a Celtics fan about Brown and Tatum's relationship based on Tatum not really having his back much after the initial snub. I'd be worried about Tatum's mental status.
They are by far and away the favorite. They are plus 310, 25% chance to win again.
Yeah, and that's after the Knicks loaded up a little bit. And
the second most likely champion, Oklahoma City Thunder at plus 750.
Shea Gilgis.
That is overwhelming odds. If you had to guess, more likely to repeat, Celtics or Chiefs?
I hate to say it.
Or three-peat.
Chiefs. I mean, I hate to say it.
Yeah. And they proved they don't even have to try in the regular season.
Yeah.
That's been the big difference in the NFL, is going to one bye, because when you had two, you basically had to play the whole year if you were a top team, because you were going to be at least a game or two out of one of those two seeds. But if you know early you're not going to be the best team in your conference, and you know you're going to win your division, you can basically use the last several weeks as your own bye.
Yep.
And get healthy and take time. I wonder if 18 games will change that.
Who is the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC?
I mean, I want to say Ravens, but I think... I'm hopeful for the Bills that everybody's down on them.
Really?
Well, Josh Allen has dominated Mahomes in the regular season. I don't know. Burrow is a question mark to me. I'm nervous about his just being injury prone, but they may be the most talented. I have no faith in any of the AFC West teams. I mean, the Raiders, the Broncos, Raiders, Broncos, Chiefs, and what am I to my
Chargers.
Chargers. No, nothing there. I mean, maybe Jim Harbaugh can get something out of Herbert, but it's not a lot of. There's not a lot of great teams in the NFL right now.
No,
I mean, there's nobody that you look at is like, oh, they're the clear cut favorite. I just think Mahomes is in the middle. He's not even chasing anybody in the league. He's just chasing Brady.
It gets started very soon. I mean, not really that soon. NFL, we're still, I guess, a month away. It always feels like when you hit preseason football, you're close. You're not that close, but we do get a joint practice this week, another game on Thursday, and potentially another few snaps of Drake May. Who knows if they give him 4 or 5 reps?
So Tuesday, you're going to see, what do you think? Are you going to see? Are you going to see
at the joint practice?
Yeah. Are you going to see splitting reps, or is it going to be all Brissett with the ones?
Mostly Brissett. They'll give Drake May a handful of a series or two, right? How many series do they go?
I don't know. But do you think that this is more Elliott Wolf being protective of his own ass? That, like, if Drake May gets exposed and his, you know, because we all think if Elliott Wolf doesn't land this, if Drake May isn't great or good, Elliott Wolf's cooked, right?
Yeah, and they don't think he's that good, and it's the worst thing they could do is put him out there and him flop
and get embarrassed, then they all look bad. And
right, and there's no rush. I mean, there really isn't. I know the fans want it for entertainment purposes. I'm sure the crafts want it sooner than later.
I guess in a way, then, that's a good sign that the crafts are allowing them to do their job.
They are. So far, they are. Whether that continues this week will be determined. Right now, we determine what's trending with Joe Braverman.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
You determined that I can do my job. I appreciate that aloud. Red Sox return home to an 8-4 loss to the Astros to open up their series. Sox were up 3-1 until six consecutive hits, including a two-run home run by Jose Altuve, gave Houston a tie, and then eventually the lead in the seventh inning. The bullpen of Lucas Sims, Luis Garcia, and Cam Boozer allowed 7 of the 8 earned runs. Zach Kelly also got in there for two-thirds of an inning. Game two of this three-game set will take place this afternoon. You can hear Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough with the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's at Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Josh Winkowski will get the start for the Sox in a bullpen day opposite Spencer Arrighetti for the Astros. Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Before yesterday's game, the Sox announced they placed Brian Baio on the paternity list and Cooper Criswell on the COVID-19 injury list. Boozer and Brad Keller were recalled from AAA Worcester to fill those roster spots. Yesterday, the Patriots officially released wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju finished with 29 catches, 260 yards, and a touchdown after signing a three-year, $25 million contract as a free agent last offseason. The Pats will account for $9 million of his $60 million guaranteed in the cap space. And the Paris Olympics are winding down this weekend. So far, the U.S. still the clear and away favorite leader, I should say, in overall medals with 113. China has the most gold medals at 36, followed by the USA at 33. Notable events for today, the U.S. and Brazil in women's soccer are competing for the gold medal. They are about 18 minutes in, and it is still nil-nil. Later today, you can see the men's and women's 4x400 relay. That'll get started at 1 in the afternoon. And men's U.S. basketball will try for their fifth straight gold medal against host nation France. That tips off at 3:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
His eyes, they closed. On his last breath spoke. He had seen all to be seen.
Like, I mean, he, you know, Jacoby's the starter, so Drake only gets a few of these games. You didn't feel it was important for him to learn the work on the operation and the huddle and some of the game management stuff?
I mean, those things are always under consideration. I would also say, you know, during practice, he gets a lot of reps. And then going into the Eagles week, this honestly is a huge week for everyone to practice against the Eagles. And then really, we'll see how the reps kind of break down in the game. But I expect Drake to get, you know, more reps than he did in the first game against the Eagles.
Born to mourn, walk away, me boys, walk away, me boys.
Gerard Mayo, he'll join you, Curtis. A week from Monday. Our first Patriots Monday is coming up on the 19th. And by then, they'll have joint practices in the books. They'll have two preseason games in the books and be a week away from the dress rehearsal. What's your grade on Mayo so far? You like him? Like what he's doing?
I'm a big fan of Gerard Mayo. I think he is an accountable guy. I enjoy the back and forth. People want to point to that we're going to burn some cash. I don't think he said that thinking it was a lie.
It's your fault, by the way.
Got to ask the questions. I mean, when he says that's the plan, I don't go, okay, thanks, Gerard. God, but it's really not that hard to be okay in this industry. You just have to be curious. And not afraid of what other people think of you 24/7. Either way, I don't think he was lying to me. I think he thought that's what they were going to do. And the people that are in charge make those rules. And Bill Belichick not being a coach in the NFL is hurting the roster this year. Fact. That is just, I don't think it's, there's any way to disprove that, because $30 million is going to Bill to do nothing, and that $30 million is part of the budget for this Patriots team.
Devil's advocate, though, if he had been here, they still would have had to pay him that money. And a couple years ago, they did spend big in the offseason with paying Bill.
And Robert Kraft often would cite that, which is why Bill Belichick at the final press conference, when asked by Karen Grigian, great reporter, about what was being done financially, he said, we're 27th in cash spending the last 3 years. That's been a sensitive topic for a while. And the thing that I just don't understand is that it is such a profitable endeavor to own a Patriot, to own an NFL team. Billionaires are literally falling over themselves to get in on it. And this family that owns 100% of the team did a great job. Are just okay with this?
Well, they, you know, I believe they were in on Ayuk to a point. I believe they were in on Ridley.
Okay, okay, Ridley's one. I mean, it also would stand to reason, even when Tom and Bill Belichick were here, they would wait until now to really invest. Like, outside of the 06 offseason, after they lost the AFC Championship, when Brady's thrown to Jabbar Gaffney in the end zone, and big-eyed Rashay Caldwell, rest in peace. You know, that offseason, they went after Adalys Thomas. They went after Randy Moss. They traded for Wes Welker. They were all in to go into 07. We all know what happened. I just don't know why they always waited for the trade deadline with Sanu for a second, or Antonio Brown when he froze his foot in France, or Josh Gordon, or like in this case with Ayuk. It's like you had the whole offseason to build your team. Why are you now doing it with no time on the clock and when you're not as, you know, lucrative a franchise to go to?
They're using the reset button excuse, I believe. And they're going to let this all, contracts expire for coaches. They're going to go after things in year two when they have a more clarity on the quarterback and how Drake May is and what he needs and how the coaches mesh. And that might not be the worst strategy if they do follow that up with spending and being aggressive next year. But it's going to be a painful this year.
You talk about spending next year.
They're not going to win seven games, Curtis.
They could. If the defense is what it is,
they won't even pay Judon. I mean, although he was coaching on the sideline, like, he actually seemed into the game.
Well, that was another thing, like, the broadcast.
Yeah, what'd you grade the McCourties?
Well, everybody on the show's like, that was great. Okay. Devin likes you, Courtney. It's okay. Like, you don't have to. It was mediocre at best.
I didn't get to watch. I was at the game itself.
It was a lot of let's rehab Judon's image. It was very limited discussion on Drake May being pulled, which was the only story that mattered. And I get it. It's a craft production. So just like Nesson Productions or House Organs, that was what it was. And Zoe's a nice guy and Devin and his brother are talented. But for me, it was a total tune out. I mean, Brian Hoyer going on and on about how Bailey Zappe, I mean, Paul Perillo say Bailey Zappe's had a great attitude.
In their defense, there's not much to How many punts were there in the first half?
Right. 15. So just talk about why Drake May went out after one series. That's literally all every radio show did all week. Mm. There's plenty of content to discuss.
Yeah.
Why not? Why are you not in on Ayuk? Why didn't you do it earlier? What would Ayuk mean for this organization? I mean, there's a million storylines you can get into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not a million, but there are a couple. But one storyline I would like to revisit with you.
Yes.
We're talking about spending money. What do you think the reaction is Monday if it turns out that John Henry is a finalist nearing in on a deal to purchase the Celtics?
Well, he is a finalist. I mean, he's in, right? That's been reported, right?
So then what happens? What do you think the image of Wick is altered by selling it to John Henry? And what is the overall?
Well, no, and when you and Greg were going back and forth over that, Greg seemed to indicate it wasn't Wick's call.
It is absolutely their call. They're selling the team. You know, they do have a fiduciary duty to try and maximize what they get for their stake, because that directly relates to the stake of Rob Hale, Pagliuca, and all the limited partners. But the last time a major team was sold in Boston, it was in 2001, when there was the O'Donnell, there was a local bid that was higher than that of John Henry. But Bud Selig told the Harrington Trust to sell to John Henry and approved it. So they got it for, some people were offering $700, they got it for $660.
Mm-hmm.
So there is precedent that it's not a publicly traded company where you have to disclose all these things. It is privately held.
Yeah.
And
no, I think the Wick and his dad, I think they could sell to anybody, and their legacy is secure. They won two titles now. That was huge. And, yeah, they're tapping out maybe a bit early, but they signed everybody on the current team to contracts, and the team is locked up. So they have ensured the success of the franchise to the best of their ability. I mean, it's up to the next owner to deliver. It's not really on them. It is interesting, too, in this New York Post piece, they mentioned Pagliuca owns 20% of the Celtics. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Was that known?
10 times that of Wick.
Well, I mean, he needs 30% more. I mean, that's pretty easy to roll that over. Would anybody complain about Pags just taking ownership?
But that's why I don't even know why we're here. Like, why wouldn't they just say to Pags or say to Rob Hill? And that, to me, suggests that they're going for every last cent, which is perfectly within their rights, but I find it to be incongruent to say that you get paid in parades and that you're stewards of this franchise and then to sell it to John Henry, which would just be the worst outcome for fans.
To reiterate earlier, I do think they would do a good job, the Henry Group, building a basketball-only arena. They would probably pair up with a casino. It would probably be MGM, because they're already partnered with them with Fenway Sports Group.
Right.
And that would be welcomed by the fans if they do it well, I think. Although a texter pointed out, if they leave Boston, there'd be some backlash. I don't love going to Gillette for games just because I live close to Fenway and can walk here. It's so easy for me. So there is an effort. If it was in Everett or somewhere on the seaport, I know you're a coast guy. You like to be by the ocean. Would you buy in for a new arena in the seaport?
Oh, absolutely. If they replace that, I've said this on the show, whatever it is, the bank pavilion of the year that's in the seaport, if they got rid of that venue.
Or make it a larger entertainment complex.
Oh,
you could still have shows there.
Awesome.
Redo the bank of the pavilion. Get rid of those pickleball courts over there.
And I think also that you need to do more to make it convenient for people, because the in-home experience is so great that putting stuff in that spot where you're in this downtown area. I mean, they have done a great job by the Garden, West End, where they have really rebuilt that area. You got Guy's Spot. You got a bunch of restaurants. You got the train brings you right there from the north. But
you'd still have enough events there, plus the Bruins, that it wouldn't die.
I mean, No. It wouldn't die. And they've done a good job of, you know, adding, you know, they had the NCAA hockey there. They had the Bean Pot. They have plenty of stuff to do.
To the phones we go on the Kenny Curtis program. You can join us, 617-779-7937. What do you think of John Henry buys the Celtics? Here's Derek and Pepperell. Hello, Derek.
Hey, Ken. Hey, Curtis. How are you? Great to have you. Just the first time I've called in, you guys have actually been together. You guys are an awesome team. Awesome, awesome team. So I have thoughts. What's that?
It's okay. Carry on.
All right, I will. I have thoughts about John Henry buying the Celtics. Absolutely not. I'm sure you, Curtis, I'm sure you agree as well. I liked when he first bought the Red Sox. It seemed like he was really passionate about it and cared. Now I don't think his focus is on the Red Sox. It's elsewhere. And I don't think that he would, I think he'd be a horrible owner. I would love to think somebody like a Bob Kraft, somebody like that. I think that would be, you know, awesome. Now, the reality is somebody's got to have a lot of money. And then back to the Celtics, the thing that I've continuously said about the estate planning, I'm still absolutely not buying that they're selling that team because of estate plan. If anything, it's going to inflate their net worth, which is therefore going to produce more taxes. I will hang up and I'll hear your thoughts.
Okay, interesting. Well, you and I both love Rob Hale. Rob is going to be part of the Jimmy Fund Telethon again Tuesday. And you want to talk about somebody who's engaged with the team. As a minority owner of the Celtics, he was kind enough to bring Wiggy and I along for one game in his seats. And he just loves the whole process. You can tell he's like invested in a night. He's there every night. He loves the team. He would be an awesome owner. He would be fantastic.
And that, to me, is a prerequisite.
Yeah.
Where you have a guy that is desperate to win, that is financially strong as anyone, and
as committed to the region and giving back to the region as anybody.
Right. And no one has done more to earn his living while repaying those he's never met some of the blessings he and his family have gotten. Like, you cannot be a more well-rounded A-plus of a guy than Rob Hale. And what John Henry does is perfectly legal. It's perfectly within his right as a businessman. I think he's been very good to the people that have invested with him. If I'm the Gordons or Tom Warner, I feel like they all love John Henry, and rightfully so. But as a follower of the sports side, of the actual product on the field, watching the Red Sox trying to reshape their image as a mid-market team, watching him try to do that in the NBA is not something I'm interested in at all.
Speaking of the telethon and guests, we have several A-list guests again this year. One, to promote for your show Tuesday morning, Tech is going to be on. Jason Veritek, obviously very close with Tim Wakefield, and I think that's going to be a major theme, obviously be a major theme throughout the telethon this year and the unfortunate passing of Tim. But looking forward to your conversation with Tech for a lot of reasons.
Oh, definitely.
And I don't believe he's ever called in on the show. This might be the first time. I thought he was the manager in waiting. That turns out not to be true. You know, it's probably not the spot to be asking him about whether he's going to manage the Yankees next year, but I am interested to see, you know, what his future is after this year with Cora.
Right, and I would say we've been doing this, I think, I've been with EEI since 2013, and obviously grew up with the radio telethon, and I was trying to think of a way to...
22nd year, by the way.
22nd. And, you know, as you know, there's a person in my life that is fighting cancer, mm-hmm. and deeply private about it, and I always would think to... You know, you get a terminal cancer diagnosis, right? And you think, oh, well, we all know the outcome. But what the Dana-Farber does is it gives you a fighting chance in prolonging your life. And what everybody that has had cancer prior to now that has terminal cancer has done, whether it's kids or adults, is provide a chance for someone else to live longer. And when you get directly impacted by that longer life, yeah. there is nothing you wouldn't repay. And so it's such an amazing thing where people are given the worst hand you could possibly be dealt. Either a parent has a child, which...
No, when we see the pediatric patients, every time
it kills you.
Yeah.
And wrong, you know, it is gutting. And you see these parents, but they all have to be strong and they find strength. The kids are amazing. But it's this place that is dedicated to dealing with the worst thing the people walking in there will ever have to endure. And the people leave smiling. And it's the most inspiring and emotionally exhausting period, but I just think I have such gratitude to the people that have fought cancer before, that have taken the trials. And what we learned at our first, you know, big event, I think it was prior to the, it was like 2018, prior to the pandemic, when you and I had a bigger role in the planning, was that every dollar that's used to find new medicine is not from these big pharmaceutical companies. It's from the men and women that donate, because no big pharmaceutical company wants to invest in the beginning of the process of finding drugs, because it's such a difficult process. So it'll be another interesting week, but it's one that is just, you think you're like, okay, another year of this where we're going to hear, and then you get through your second day and you're just blown away by the stories, by the new, that's the coolest part, is the new treatments that you're told about by people. And it's the infectious optimism of the people that work at the Dana-Farber that really changed the world.
Very well said. Hope you can listen in and be a part of it as well as our listeners are every year. And very easy to give. You can text it, KCANCER, to 20222. $25 that way starting on Tuesday morning. And a lot of great guests and inspirational stories. And we'll have some sports talk in there as well.
And another idea, I think it's a great one, Celtics to Springfield.
Well, hey, Basketball Hall of Fame expansion.
I mean, birthplace of basketball.
Merge it with the MGM out there.
Right.
Let's go back to the phones where you can join us, 617-779-7937. And by the way, waiting in the wings, Baseball Isn't Boring, noon today. And Bradfo is here for the crossover, so this should be a collision of...
It's a collision course.
The Casas collision.
Like Guerrero and Belichick.
5 minutes from the Casas collision here on EEI. But right now it's Sean in Norwell. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. Sean here. I don't know if you can hear me all right.
Yep.
Gotcha. You can.
All right, guys. I'll be really quick. Like, number one, just regarding the Patriots and Ayuk, I'm getting so tired of this talk because at the end of the day, you know, the San Francisco 49ers have their back up against the wall. They have a very heavy payroll. They have to pay Purdy next year. So my point is that Ayuk is going to be a free agent next year, so why not go after him then if you really care? Two, this is a lost season. You know, we're probably going to get the number one pick next year. I'm anticipating 3 wins max. So that means that if you get the first pick in the first round, you get the first pick in the second round, you could trade down probably to number 5 and 9, add a first-round pick in 2026, add a second-round pick, and that means you're making the balance sheet work for you. And I think that's the strategy going forward. I see no reason outbidding Ayuk. You're also going to get a T. Higgins next year. So you get opportunities to bring somebody in, like a really solid rookie alongside one of them without giving up anything. And I just don't want to help the 49ers. So that's my view. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Sean. It is a lost season. You would agree with Sean on that, at least. I know what you're saying. You got to get good players to get good players and lay the foundation somehow. He's not wrong. Why give up a second and a third?
Oh God,
now when you could go after Ayuk next year?
So you think
if
a guy that won't even
Niners,
when there's
he
only
might resign with the Niners.
When there's only three teams vying for Ayuk and he says he doesn't want to come here, you think he'll come here when there's 31?
Yes, they'll be in a different spot next year. You might convince him next year.
No chance. But and I would
after
also tell you, not telling you that this is going to happen, but when the Patriots were 0-2, having lost to the Bengals and the Jets the first two games of the 2001 series. In the season, they were 32nd of CBS Sportline's power rankings. In the blurb with it said, there are only 32 teams, which is why they were 32nd.
Coming up, will Rob Bradford apologize for saying you were wrong last week?
Or will Tristan Casas show up at Fenway today?
He might do that for another Wasabi Challenge. Or just to play baseball, one of those two.
Will he tell Tom Caron it feels like he's being shot in the ribs?
We are at your New England Ford dealers, Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition Ford F-150 official truck of the Red Sox.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
At the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, it is the Ken and Curtis Show. Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford is coming your way from noon to 3:10 today.
Is this Rob's walk-up music?
It is.
Speaking of music, Chris, have you ever gone to a concert with Ken?
I can't say that we have we?
I'm fascinated by how people act at a concert.
Well, Ken's awkward as a baseline.
Now, like, I'm not dancing around, but I'm banging my can in rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. We went to the Green Day concert.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And so my wife's move is like this, like, banging her head, right? Like, yeah, fit right in. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's I was very proud of her.
Yeah.
Ken literally doesn't.
By the way, your wife is so nice. When we were in Fort Myers, she was there every morning.
She's very nice.
She's a very nice lady.
Thank you. She loves telling the old people how to get their tickets done for Fort Myers.
That job requires.
It is the most important job in the history of the Red Sox.
Right. Sorry. Carry on.
But anyway, Ken doesn't move, which is fine. I move slightly more.
Wait. So he just stands there?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, I was there by myself. It was the Green Day show. We're in the suite. It was just not. You know, every concert is a different vibe. That one was just kind of a stand and watch.
Yes.
But this is not how I expected this segment to start. We had a collision course build up.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to apologize for something.
Right. Well, you said that I have the right to be wrong, and
yeah,
I appreciate you're that.
You still do have the prerogative to be wrong.
So Cora and I are wrong on this.
No, what Cora said with, and I assume you're talking about Tristan Cassis.
Yes, sir.
Cora said that he's healthy, that he's that it's up to him, which is understandable and true. And now it comes back to, is he going to be the most productive option? Is he ready to go in regards to playing first base for the Boston Red Sox? And that is one of the things that is of the utmost importance. I mean, that's what we have to figure out.
Why isn't he here?
Because he feels like he feels like he cannot be as productive as the option that they have here.
Right, because he is nervous that he may be doing poorly at the big league club, and that he was in a negotiation before the season, it didn't come to fruition, and that if he puts up bad numbers, less than 100% rushing back to help the team, it may in fact come back to hurt his ability to negotiate.
So this is one of the most bizarre arguments that I've ever heard.
How is that bizarre?
Okay, so first of all, when you are assigned a rehab assignment, do you know how many days you
20
have?
20 days.
20 days. Yes, 20 days. Okay, so they had done MRIs. They had given the approval after going through the process of letting him go on the rehab assignment. That was on July 31st. So 20 days, and that would mean that he would come back. He would come back on be eligible. The last day he could do was first day of the Houston series, which is a week from Monday. So if that is the case, what you're talking about for a guy who isn't even arbitration eligible until after next year,
right,
you're saying that he's doing this, he is playing these contract ploys for literally 1 week of a season that is so far out from any contract like factors at all.
Well, he negotiated a contract before the season.
No, he did not. They offered him a contract before the season.
Right.
So my point is that if you come in, if he, say today, or let's say last week, he came in and he played, and he was good or he was bad, do you think that those 2 weeks would matter at all when it came to his contract negotiations?
I think he is on the precipice of generational wealth, and that all of these things come into play. And the fact that Alex Cora publicly questioned his timeline shows to me that the manager is a little bit miffed at the fact that their guy, who they need right now on a playoff push, has decided not to return to the big club yet.
I would say, when you say question his timeline, I would say, well, he said he's healthy, and he said that it's up to him. Now, the time in that same quote, he also said he has to make sure that he has his timing. Now, you have to look at the numbers, too.
But that's always been the case. He decided to voice that at this time. It's always been up to Casas. He has the 20 days to get back here.
Exactly.
And so the fact that the manager is publicly stating he's healthy is received by the fan base as the manager questioning his desire to return.
The fan base can – listen, we had calls like all over the place, and what people get upset over is the way Tristan Casas talks. They forget like this guy from June 1st last year all the way to when he got hurt, had a better OPS than Rafael Devers. They forget how good he is. So the point is that...
I think it's that they know how good he is, right, and they want him on the field.
Exactly. So that's the point. So if you go back to... this is something Alex Cora could probably say 2 weeks ago, which was, hey, listen, he's healthy because we put him on the rehab. This is where when he had then Cassis had the comments to myself and Chris Cotillo, said the pain's minimal, and then he went to Laura Stickles and said it's a knife in the chest. The organization took issue with that because their perception is, hey, if you have your knife in the chest, if it's that bad, then we wouldn't be allowing you to do a rehab assignment. And that is accurate. But at the same time, Alex Cora would not, when he started the rehab assignment, would say the same thing as he said yesterday.
Right, but
it is up to him. Hold on.
Right, but that's why this is a story.
Right, it's a story because he said he would give an update of this. It's a story. I have no problem with you saying, hey, Alex Cora wants him back. But to integrate the contract is bizarre to me. And also, I come back to the other part, which I haven't even mentioned. Since the All-Star break, the replacement for Tristan Casas has a 800 OPS. They have the most runs in baseball. This isn't their problem. So he's going to come back anyway. He's going to come back next week.
But I would just ask you this, Rob. I'm sorry. I just had a little. We already have Braverman playing the out cue.
I just told him to stop.
Okay.
Look at you.
Well, look at Ken. He might not move at a concert, but he moves and shakes on the show. When we had just a different player, but last year,
Terry Glenn.
Verdugo. Well, let's not get back down that road.
Yeah.
Verdugo was late a bunch. Mm-hmm. As people who didn't cover the team, I was not aware of it. When Cora brought it up and made an issue of it, you and others said, yeah, this has been simmering beneath the surface. The fact that Cora was vocalizing this shows how disgusted he is, whatever adjective you want to use. In this case, everything you're saying is accurate. The timeline is up to Casas. He has 20 days to get up to the big league club. And yes, the replacement and the first baseman haven't been the reason the Sox have been losing these games. All valid. The fact that the manager said this, nobody knows Boston better than Alex Cora, is telling me that the organization is frustrated by the timeline chosen by their star first baseman.
And there could be a frustration of saying, hey, listen, we believe that you're healthy, come and play. But at the same time, in that same quote, as I said, Alex Cora also said, but also he has to get his timing. In the last two games for Tristan Casas, he's 2-for-10. The point is that Alex Cora, no matter what he said yesterday, and Tristan Casas knows that they have to get the best version of him. And so when you talk about the contract thing, doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, how are you paid? Based on what?
You're not paid by 2 weeks of a career which, by the way, you aren't even introduced to anything regards to your performance for another 2 years.
He was already in a contract negotiation before the season, and he's 2-for-10 in Worcester, which doesn't go against stats.
Well, first
here.
Of all, he's not 2-for-10 in Worcester. In the last two games, he's 2-for-10 in Worcester. Overall, he has an over 800 OPS. The point is that
he's doing well and performing.
No.
Why isn't he here?
The point is that they want to get the best version.
Wait, so how is he not performing? He's got an 800 OPS and he's not here?
I just said in the last two games.
He's 2-for-10.
Right. You want a guy who's
trying to have it both ways.
No. You asked two different questions.
Well, you're saying he's performing in Worcester.
No, I said overall, he's doing okay in Worcester because when you said, oh, he's 2-for-10. So what I'm pointing out is that in the last two games, it's not like he's hitting the ground running here. All I'm saying is this, Chris, is that you need the best. Can we agree on this? You need the best version of Tristan Casas. There's no point in dropping Tristan Casas into this lineup if it is not the best version of him, right?
I mean, I would.
I don't think Cora feels that.
I don't think the manager.
Judging by these quotes, I think he wants him here, and he's upset he's not here. That's my read on it.
Okay, well, that's fine. But
are we having this conversation if Alex Cora doesn't publicly say those things?
Yes, because we had it last week.
Okay, outside of crazy people like me,
we were going to have it anyway. And I mean, this is just fueling it.
Were you surprised he said that?
No.
Oh my Lanta!
What?
Wow. You weren't surprised that Cora called him out in the pregame.
He said that A, he was healthy, which he also said 5 days ago, right? He's healthy. He's okay. And if he wasn't, and this is what Cora said, it comes back to the comments in Worcester.
If he
wasn't healthy, then he would not be playing on a rehab assignment, which, by the way, has to end a week from Monday. So all of this is eyewash. It has to end. If he was not healthy, this is what Alex Cora is saying. If he was not healthy, then he would not be playing in Worcester right now. But in the same comment, Alex Cora also said he has to get his timing down, which is also true.
If what you're saying is true, then this is a massive misjudgment by a guy that is basically batting 1,000.
By who?
By Cora.
Why?
Well, I've just
so you could you. Because you could take that and run with it like this?
It's not me, Rob. I'm reacting. I saw this on social media last night. It was like wildfire, people talking about it.
Okay. And that's fine.
That's how I was made aware of it.
That's fine. It comes back to the impetus of Alex Cora saying that. there is no question that you're right. Alex Cora is very good about getting the message, much like, and I think this is where I think that people have to realize what was the impetus for that comment. It's because when Tristan Casas says the knives things, Dolores Stickles, they're like, wait a second. And this is a fact, too. Wait a second. Don't say that. That's not true. We know that you're in pretty good shape because we would not put you on the rehab assignment. That is where the sensitivity for Cora and the organization comes from. I think it comes from more of that. You're playing.
Already addressed that. Cora commented this past week saying that he wouldn't be in a rehab.
Right, and then he's addressing it again. And he said the same thing, which is the reason why it is taking to this point, and it's just going to be another week. I don't know. Again, I know this is going to put a big dent in the contract negotiations, but the fact that he has to be this best version of himself because it does the Red Sox no good if he's not.
Well, let me tell you this. I love being my best version with you, and I think you make baseball totally exciting.
Yeah, it's listen, I've said it a million times. You guys are the best. I always enjoy it.
Good collision.
Next time, the only thing I would ask for is a video of Ken doing nothing at a concert, because that would have really made
I think I might have one in the background of my wife banging her head.
Ken just sitting there having a Yingling.
Baseball is never a Yingling. That's a Philly beer.
Okay, sorry.
Baseball isn't boring. All right, Rob Bradford.
All right, see it.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Yeah.
Thank you, far too kind.
At the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, it is the Ken and Curtis Show. Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford is coming your way from noon to 3:10 today.
Is this Rob's walk-up music?
This is.
Speaking of music, Chris, have you ever gone to a concert with Ken?
I can't say that we have we?
I'm fascinated by how people act at a concert.
Well, Ken's awkward as a baseline.
Now, like, I'm not dancing around, but I'm banging my can in rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. We went to the Green Day concert.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so my wife's move is like this, like, banging her head, right? Like, yeah, right in. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's I was very proud of her.
Yeah.
Ken literally doesn't.
By the way, your wife is so nice. When we were in Fort Myers, she was there every morning.
She is very nice.
She's a very nice lady.
Thank you. She loves telling the old people how to get their tickets done for Fort Myers.
Believe me, that job requires.
It is the most important job in the history of the Red Sox.
Right. Sorry. Carry on.
But anyway, Ken doesn't move, which is fine. I move slightly more.
Wait. So he just stands there?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, I was there by myself. It was the Green Day show. We're in the suite. It was just not. You know, every concert is a different vibe. That one was just kind of a stand and watch.
Yes.
But this is not how I expected this segment to start. We had a collision course build up.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to apologize for something.
Right. Well, no, you said that I have the right to be wrong, and
yeah,
I appreciate that.
You still do have the prerogative to be wrong.
So Cora and I are wrong on this.
No, what Cora said with, and I assume you're talking about Tristan Casas.
Yes, sir.
Cora said that he's healthy, that he's that it's up to him, which is understandable and true. And now it comes back to, is he going to be the most productive option? Is he ready to go in regards to playing first base for the Boston Red Sox? And that is one of the things that is of the utmost importance. I mean, that's what we have to figure out.
Why isn't he here?
Because he feels like he cannot be as productive as the option that they have here.
Right, because he is nervous that he may be doing poorly at the big league club, and that he was in a negotiation before the season, it didn't come to fruition, and that if he puts up bad numbers, less than 100% rushing back to help the team, it may in fact come back to hurt his ability to negotiate.
So this is one of the most bizarre arguments that I've ever heard.
How is that bizarre?
Okay, so first of all, when you are assigned a rehab assignment, do you know how many days you
20
have?
20 days.
20. Yes, 20 days. Okay, so they had done MRIs. They had given the approval after going through the process of letting him go on the rehab assignment. That was on July 31st. So 20 days, and that would mean that he would come back. He would come back on be eligible. The last day he could do was first day of the Houston series, which is a week from Monday. So if that is the case, what you're talking about for a guy who isn't even arbitration eligible until after next year,
right,
you're saying that he's doing this, he is playing these contract ploys for literally 1 week of a season that is so far out from any contract like factors at all.
Well, he negotiated a contract before the season.
No, he did not. They offered him a contract before the season.
Right.
So my point is that if you come in, if he, say today, or let's say last week, he came in and he played and he was good or he was bad, do you think that those 2 weeks would matter at all when it came to his contract negotiations?
I think he is on the precipice of generational wealth, and that all of these things come into play. And the fact that Alex Cora publicly questioned his timeline shows to me that the manager is a little bit miffed at the fact that their guy, who they need right now on a playoff push, has decided not to return to the big club yet.
I would say, when you say question his timeline, I would say, well, he said he's healthy, and he said that it's up to him. Now, the time in that same quote, he also said he has to make sure that he has his timing. Now, you have to look at the numbers, too.
But that's always been the case. He decided to voice that at this time. It's always been up to Casas. He has the 20 days to get back here.
Exactly.
And so the fact that the manager is publicly stating he's healthy is received by the fan base as the manager questioning his desire to return.
The fan base can – listen, we had calls like all over the place, and what people get upset over is the way Tristan Casas talks. They forget like this guy from June 1st last year all the way to when he got hurt, had a better OPS than Rafael Devers. They forget how good he is. So the point is that
I think it's that they know how good he is,
right,
and they want him on the field.
Exactly. So that's the point. So if you go back to this is something Alex Cora could probably say 2 weeks ago, which was, hey, listen, he's healthy because we put him on the rehab. This is where when he had the Casas had the comments to myself and Chris Cotillo, said the pain's minimal, and then he went to Laura Stickles and said it's a knife in the chest. The organization took issue with that because their perception is, hey, if you have your knife in the chest, if it's that bad, then we wouldn't be allowing you to do a rehab assignment. And that is accurate. But at the same time, Alex Cora would not, when he started the rehab assignment, would say the same thing as he said yesterday.
Right, but
it is up to him. Hold on.
Right, but that's why this is a story.
Right, it's a story because He said he would give an update of this. It's a story. I have no problem with you saying, hey, Alex Cora wants him back. But to integrate the contract is bizarre to me. And also, I come back to the other part, which I haven't even mentioned. Since the All-Star break, the replacement for Tristan Casas has a 800 OPS. They have the most runs in baseball. This isn't their problem. So he's going to come back anyway. He's going to come back next week.
But I would just ask you this, Rob. I'm sorry. I just had a little. We already have Braverman playing the out cue.
I just told him to stop.
Okay.
Look at you.
Well, look at Ken. He might not move at a concert, but he moves and shakes on the show. When we had just a different player, but last year,
Terry Glenn.
Verdugo. Well, let's not get back down that road.
Yeah.
Verdugo was late a bunch. Mm-hmm. As people who didn't cover the team, I was not aware of it. When Cora brought it up and made an issue of it, you and others said, yeah, this has been simmering beneath the surface. The fact that Cora were vocalizing this shows how disgusted he is, whatever adjective you want to use. In this case, everything you're saying is accurate. The timeline is up to Casas. He has 20 days to get up to the big league club. And yes, the replacement and the first baseman haven't been the reason the Sox have been losing these games. All valid. The fact that the manager said this, nobody knows Boston better than Alex Cora, is telling me that the organization is frustrated by the timeline chosen by their star first baseman.
And there could be a frustration of saying, hey, listen, we believe that you're healthy, come and play. But at the same time, in that same quote, as I said, Alex Cora also said, but also he has to get his timing. In the last two games for Tristan Casas, he's 2-for-10. The point is that Alex Cora, no matter what he said yesterday, and Tristan Casas knows that they have to get the best version of him. And so when you talk about the contract thing, doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, how are you paid? Based on what?
You're not paid by 2 weeks of a career which, by the way, you aren't even introduced to anything regards to your performance for another 2 years.
He was already in a contract negotiation before the season, and he's 2-for-10 in Worcester, which doesn't go against stats.
Well, first of all, he's not 2-for-10 in Worcester. In the last two games, he's 2-for-10 in Worcester. Overall, he has an over 800 OPS. The point is that
he's doing well and performing.
No.
Why isn't he here?
The point is that they want to get the best version.
Wait, so how is he not performing? He's got an 808 OPS and he's not here?
I just said in the last two games.
He's 2-for-10.
Right. You
trying to have it both ways.
No. You asked two different questions.
Well, you're saying he's performing in Worcester.
No, I said overall, he's doing okay in Worcester because when you said, oh, he's 2-for-10. So what I'm pointing out is that in the last two games, it's not like he's hitting the ground running here. All I'm saying is this, Chris, is that you need the best. Can we agree on this? You need the best version of Tristan Casas. There's no point in dropping Tristan Casas into this lineup if it is not the best version of him, right?
I don't think Cora feels that.
I don't think the manager.
Judging by these quotes, I think he wants him here, and he's upset he's not here. That's my read on it.
Okay, well, that's fine. But
we having this conversation if Alex Cora doesn't publicly say those things?
Yes, because we had it last week.
Okay, outside of crazy people like me,
we were going to have it anyway. And I mean, this is just fueling it. And
you surprised he said that?
No.
Oh my Lanta!
You weren't surprised that Cora called him out in the pregame.
He said that A, he was healthy, which he also said 5 days ago, right? He's healthy. He's okay. And if he wasn't, and this is what Cora said, it comes back to the comments in Worcester.
If he
wasn't healthy, then he would not be playing on a rehab assignment, which, by the way, has to end a week from Monday. So all of this is eyewash. It has to end. If he was not healthy, this is what Alex Cora is saying. If he was not healthy, then he would not be playing in Worcester right now. But in the same comment, Alex Cora also said he has to get his timing down, which is also true.
If what you're saying is true, then this is a massive misjudgment by a guy that is basically batting 1,000.
By who?
By Cora.
Why?
Well, I've just
so you could you. Because you could take that and run with it like this?
It's not me, Rob. I'm reacting. I saw this on social media last night. It was like wildfire, people talking about it.
Okay. And that's fine.
That's how I was made aware of it.
That's fine. It comes back to the impetus of Alex Cora saying that. there is no question that you're right. Alex Cora is very good about getting the message, much like, and I think this is where I think that people have to realize what was the impetus for that comment. It's because when Tristan Cassis says the knives things, Dolores Stickles, they're like, wait a second. And this is a fact, too. Wait a second. Don't say that. That's not true. We know that you're in pretty good shape because we would not put you on the rehab assignment. That is where the sensitivity for Cora and the organization comes from. I think it comes from more of that. You're playing.
Addressed that. Cora commented this past week saying that he wouldn't be in a rehab.
Right, and then he's addressing it again. And he said the same thing, which is the reason why it is taking to this point, and it's just going to be another week. I don't know. Again, I know this is going to put a big dent in the contract negotiations, but the fact that he has to be this best version of himself because it does the Red Sox no good if he's not.
Well, let me tell you this. I love being my best version with you, and I think you make baseball totally exciting.
Yeah, listen, I've said it a million times. You guys are the best.
Next
time, the only thing I would ask for is a video of Ken doing nothing at a concert, because that would have really made
I think I might have one in the background of my wife banging her head.
Ken's just sitting there having a Yingling.
Baseball is never a Yingling. That's a Philly beer.
Okay, sorry.
Baseball isn't boring. All right, Rob Brad.
All right, see it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.